Welcome back to another episode of LA Pathfinancial. My name is Chauncey Talese, and I'm the NFL editor for SportsLondonPlay.com. Great website. You should all subscribe. Use the promo code LA Pathfinancial to get 10% off our three packages, monthly, yearly, and lifetime. Let's see. I'm here with Wes Campbell tonight. Say hi, Wes.
Hi, Wes.
And from an undisclosed location in Bakersfield, California, Brian Dubar.
Hello.
So today we have a lot to talk about. We have Carson Wentz's massive extension, KD's tragic injury, the Anthony Davis trade is heating up, the St. Louis Blues defeated Boston for the Stanley Cup.
First time in 50 years.
First time in 50 years. Suck it, Boston.
Awesome. That was awesome.
We have a couple new trailers to talk about, the end of the DC app, and possibly the end of Comic-Con as we know it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll start at the top with some Eagles nest.
Unfortunately.
Is that an
eagle?
Anyway.
Close enough.
The Eagles signed Carson Wentz to a deal that's worth 6 years, $154 million, 107 guaranteed. This obviously resets.
108. It's 107.9, but we round that to the 8.
All right, fine, Mr. Technical.
All right, despite the fact that he's had numerous injuries to his knees, his back, and he wasn't the one who won them their Super Bowl. But anyway, they decided to make him the franchise guy anyway. How do you feel, Brian?
I feel pretty good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Nick Foles, and I followed a little bit of his college career because he was in the Pac-12 at Arizona, and when they drafted him, I was a huge fan. I thought his height would actually come into to be a good thing. I know some people thought he was too tall to be a quarterback. Anyway, it's not about Nick Foles. But like, so I love Nick Foles, but when we got to move up and what we gave away to get Carson Wentz, you have to find him. He's a franchise quarterback.
Is he?
Yeah, he might be. He is. Oh, yeah, definitely. He has all the fundamentals that you want in carrying your franchise. Yes, he has had injuries, but it's also football, and he needs to learn. And I think he will learn. One thing I heard, I forgot what site it was, but online, they brought up a point where the weird thing is that his injuries came from all different places. Like, he broke his wrist, I believe, in college. I think he, like, cracked his ribs in preseason on his rookie year, which is, okay, you know, people get hurt. I mean, look at it now. The rookie right now that we got from Penn State for the running back, he's injured right now from it.
Okay.
Is that going to trump his career? Probably not. He blew out his knee, but honestly, he needs to be smarter and especially now that he needs to realize that, okay, you are the face.
Because you don't have that safety net, Foles.
Yeah.
You're the face of, no, Nick Foles is the face of Jacksonville's franchise. And, you know.
Yeah, that's our point. The Eagles don't have him to kick around anymore. So if Carson Wentz gets hurt again.
Yes, but that was also a threat, like, you know, of like Carson Wentz's job security. And they're good friends. From allegedly, like, they're really good friends. They're both, like,
hardcore,
you know, Bible readers and all that stuff. But my point is that they're putting faith in him, and they're showing him, because remember there was, like, locker room talk and all this stupid drama that was going out. I do agree with the decision. He also took a team-friendly deal, because here's the thing.
Yeah, well, he jumped at the bit. Like, he jumped at that offer. Like, yes, fine, I'll take it.
Exactly. Because he realizes, too, he probably realizes, too, like, listen, you know, I have gotten injured, and I want, you know, the team behind me, and also he has something to prove. Honestly, it was a genius move on Howie Roseman once again, because he's like, okay, you know what? Let's strike while the iron's hot. Like, you know what? He knows that he's gotten injured and he did not win that Super Bowl. That's a big key. I agree with you. Know, he didn't technically win it. So let's offer this now, see if he takes it. And not to mention, this is kind of an interesting take on, because now Dallas is in the hot seat with the Dak situation, because he has not even agreed to any deals from what we've heard. So. I think it was great. I think there was a couple different reasons why they did it, but I honestly, it wasn't like he broke the bank. I mean, yeah, it sucked. But and another thing is that he's locked in.
100 million's not breaking the bank?
108.
Oh, sorry, 108, yeah.
No, because,
potentially 154.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What would happen if next year he has another MVP run year? And he doesn't get hurt. It's going to skyrocket. You would have to literally pay him probably. Honestly, I don't know what the quarterback market's going to be next year, because isn't Patrick Mahomes, he's probably going to resign after next season.
No, because he was a first round pick. And
I'm trying to think where he has. This is year three.
So he still has potentially two more years.
Because they could just pick up the option and then pay him.
Yeah, but he's also coming off of almost like a record setting
MVP season. He was the MVP, if I'm not mistaken, right?
He was the MVP, yeah. And I mean, he was amazing. So they're probably. I'm assuming he's going to be signed earlier than later.
Oh, sure.
So imagine what that deal is going to look like.
They're going to re-sign Mahomes, or they're going to sign Andy Reid some more cheeseburgers and kind of go from there.
More Kansas City barbecue.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sorry. I know it was rambling, but and there's going to be a lot of dissent with people like, oh, you know, because of the whole injury prone thing and all. That's going to be there until he proves people wrong. It is what it is. But regardless, I mean, who else? What other options? I mean, I love the way Carson Wentz plays when he's healthy. I just want him to remain healthy. And I do think that that's also kind of, something he needs to learn. And I think that now that he's got, pretty much everything's invested in him, he's going to carry the torch, whatever. And it wasn't even a torch for him to carry to begin with. But it's just, unfortunately, it didn't work out that one year. And then they won a Super Bowl without him. But you know what? I'm happy with it. So...
Okay. All right. Moving on from the. I'm ambivalent. I'm like, whatever. It was coming anyway, so it's fine. I was just wondering if. I was just wondering if any part of you was just like, oh, man. Like.
I was not expecting that. I was expecting Dak to get re-signed way before Carson, but.
Well,
I'm okay with it. Hey, go ahead. Hey, by the way, Wes. Hey, pay Dak. Pay Dak whatever he wants. You know what? You want to give him $35 million a year? I'm okay with that. Stick with him.
I'm just saying he's got a better record than Wentz, if you want to count regular season wins.
He does have a better record, Wes. He does, and I'm okay with having to play him twice a year, every season. So.
All right. I'm okay with playing Wentz once a year, because he'll probably get injured the other game.
Oh.
Okay.
All right, we have a couple of...
Trash talk is heating up.
We have a big show, so we have to get to the other stuff. We have two other extensions. Yeah, extensions to talk about. Cam Jordan of the Saints signed a three-year $52.5 million deal, which could go up to $55 million, depending on incentives, $42 million of which is guaranteed. Would you guys have signed him to that deal? Yay or nay?
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, he's pretty much their whole defensive line. Who else do they have?
The guy they traded their first round pick for to Green Bay. I'm kidding. I don't remember his name.
Exactly. And I can't remember. Is he the tight end or the defensive end?
Defensive end.
Oh, okay.
This isn't the league.
Yeah. But no, I mean he's been a good player for them. Consistent. Hasn't been injured. Hasn't been suspended. I don't think at all. And
no, he hasn't. He's been good.
Yeah, he's been a good all around player for him. So yeah, I would give him that extension.
What say you?
It's a lot, but I do agree. I don't know what else would they do. I mean, they have to keep him.
Maybe. So, I mean, that's they're one of those teams that like the next guy we're going to talk about. They're one of those teams that's like really pushing it on the cap. So you'd think, well, maybe they'd wait. But hey, good for them.
Well, especially with Breeze's contract, they're dumping I think $40 million.
Yep.
In him for just Breeze alone.
Just one more year.
This year and next year, I think.
Oh yeah. Well, then Kyle Rudolph got extended 4 years, $36 million by the Vikings, which that move actually freed up $4 million for them.
Oh, and it's a smart move for them.
Well, they really needed the money.
They need the money.
They're pairing him with that rookie tight end they drafted, so now they can go double tight.
Which is what Minnesota is known for anyway.
And to make it easier on Kyle Rudolph to get open.
Yeah. Because who else do they have in the middle of the field?
I was actually surprised that he thought that because of like all the because there was whispers about that of him being like, you know, re-signed for a while for the off season, and I'm actually surprised that it kind of came down to that. But that's great. I mean, hopefully he's happy too. If Rudolph is happy, it's a win-win.
Well, he gets 4 years, so that's not bad.
And he's staying in Minnesota.
Yep, staying in Minnesota, could possibly win a ring. Well, who knows? They could bounce back.
Not while Kirk Cousins is their quarterback.
I don't know. I just think we'll get there in the summertime, but I think like, the way they've improved their line, I think there's hope. Exactly. speaking of extensions, Jalen Ramsey announced that the Jaguars were not giving him an extension yet. Are you surprised, and do you think they'll end up extending him, or are they just going to play out that fifth-year option and see what happens?
I'd say the fifth-year option, because with, I almost said Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher.
God, what is his name? Tom Coughlin.
Tom Coughlin, there we go.
Yeah, with Tom Coughlin, like, he's the, you know, the no-BS type of guy. Like,
he might die by the time the fifth-year option rolls around for Ramsey.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he's not going to... He already said last year that, you know, he didn't approve of his antics, and he needed to settle down.
Okay, buddy. Like, let's not forget who was on that defense when he was the Giants coach, or the offense, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Plaxico would have still been there if he not shot himself. Just saying.
Shot his career.
Yeah, he literally shot his career away. Yeah, but I think so, too. Jalen Ramsey's a really good corner. I mean, he got dunked on a lot last year because of that ESPN magazine feature. That's what they should have. They were not that good. Their defense took a major step back last year, but
yep.
I still think he's going to be one of the best corners in the league, so he will get paid. But Jacksonville right now has to like look for money in the couch cushions because they spent a lot, and they've been spending a lot the last couple of years.
Oh, absolutely. They've been the number one, I want to say, like, the number one spender in free agency the last
Been largely productive spending, Dante Moncrief contract notwithstanding, but he's gone now anyway.
Yeah.
And they were able to get out from under Bortles, so that was nice.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is a fun one. The Texans GM got fired this week, and then today the Patriots are filing tampering charges.
I saw that story.
Because I guess the right after the Pats ring ceremony, the Texans started firing front office people. They're trying to court some dude that works for the Patriots. Which, good job, Texans. But my larger question is, why now? And then does this mean Bill O'Brien's kind of on the hot seat this year?
Because
that was like his last friend that got fired.
I would say if Bill O'Brien doesn't make the playoffs, then yeah, he's...
No, I think he has to win a playoff game.
Yeah, but look how many times they've...
No, like...
They've
like,
gone to the playoffs.
But I mean, like, when they won their playoff game, like, that one year with the Raiders, or they beat the Raiders, like, that's the only win in Bill O'Brien's career.
But that's what I'm saying, though. If he doesn't even make the playoffs, then he's...
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. But, I mean, even if it's like he makes... Like, it's like last year where they win the division, but then they get knocked out by, like...
Wild card team,
he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love the Colts, but the Colts should not have won that game last year. Unless we forget, the Texans had a chance to be the 2 seed in the AFC, but they blew it.
That's right.
Remember, had they beaten the Eagles, they would have... They basically would have been the 2 seed, because they would have... but they blew it, so the Pats ended up getting it. And who knows what would have happened if the Texans had gotten the bye week instead of the Patriots.
Yep.
You never know. So I think O'Brien's kind of on the hot seat on this one, because you know, that team's loaded. They should be winning, but they haven't. Like, I know Watson was coming back from an injury. He came back well, but O'Brien still kind of sucks as a coach. And Deshaun Watson saved his ass. It's like a Jeff Fisher situation.
Oh, Jeff Fisher.
I don't know. What say you?
Dubar.
I agree. I mean, have they done anything to even improve their offensive line? Oh, they did. They drafted, like, what, 2 or 3 offensive linemen.
Well, they had to.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Their offensive line was atrocious. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know, though. I might agree with Wes. If he makes the playoffs, I think he might get one more year. He might get one more year, but if he doesn't make the playoffs, he's done.
Sure, no, that's guaranteed.
Honestly, he makes the playoffs and then he gets blown out. Then that might be the exact
one. If he loses wild card weekend, or even if they get the bye and they lose, it's I think that's it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would just say if he misses the playoffs, definitely. If he makes the playoffs, I don't know.
Okay. I just find it funny that that's the new trend is firing your GM like right before training camp.
After you've had your draft, after you've had free agency.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
it's just,
you know,
like,
the Jets,
well, have
the
fun
Jets at it, and then
have fun in the summer when like veterans are available. That's when you can make your move.
Exactly.
Unless
so.
You can get really creative with the trade deadline or something.
But, yeah, I mean,
NFL can be so dumb sometimes.
Sometimes.
And last two things, James Jones of the Packers said he wants a trade. I think the Packers will not give it to him because they've already drafted a bunch of DBs the last couple of years.
Yeah, but oh no, he wasn't their starter last year, right? He only played in a couple games.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see that.
Some team will be like, ah, screw it, we'll give you a fifth round for him.
Yeah, especially during training camp, if someone gets injured.
We'll put the hard knocks at the end. But the other thing I want to really bring up was AJ Green said he wants to remain a Bengal.
Well, why?
I'm sure it's just like, well, he doesn't want to be a dick and be like, get me out of here. Because I'm sure the Bengals are listening. Whether he knows it or not, I'm sure they are, because they know they're rebuilding.
Yeah. And I get, like, you know, that was the team that drafted you, and you got that loyalty, but at the end of the day, you got to sit there and you got to think about your career.
Right.
You know, you got to look out what's best for you, because if it was the other way around, like, the Bengals would have cut you a long time ago if you were terrible.
Because, I mean, the fun part is he's only on the last year of his deal, and if I'm a contender and I have, like, some space and some picks to burn, why not trade for him?
Yeah.
Looking at you, Green Bay. I floated out a Duke Johnson trade for them last week. I think they should trade for A.J. Green. He'd immediately be the best at receiver Aaron Rodgers has ever had.
Ooh, you're even doing that.
Go on. No, let's do this. Name me a better receiver Rodgers has had than A.J. Green would be. You can play too, Brian. I'm listening.
See, now I'm just trying to remember, like, receivers.
Exactly. That's my point.
Jordy Nelson in his prime?
No. Is better than A.J. Green in his prime? No way.
See, and that you got to factor in, too, that he had the red rifle thrown to him. So if he had, like, Aaron Rodgers, then...
Yeah, like a real quarterback?
Yeah, I could see that, yeah. I'll get behind that.
Easily. I mean, you could make a great case for Greg Jennings, but you'll lose. But it'd be fun.
Yeah.
You could try it.
I'm trying to think of all the Packers receivers.
Exactly. They've had... it's just been a bunch of dudes and Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Who's no longer there.
He's with the Cowboys. That's right.
I don't know, Brian, would you, like, if you were a team, you'd trade for A.J. Green and rent him for a year, why not, right?
Oh, hell yeah, I would, oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, our teams can't do it, but God bless any other teams that want to do it.
Yeah.
No, the heck yeah. I mean, it's not like he's old or anything.
No, he's been hurt the last couple of years because he's been the only option, because they let Mohamed Sanu walk for nothing.
Well, he's got that kind of weird, because he's really lanky, so he's very, you know, I mean...
And he's strong. He can still get separation.
He's strong, but I'm saying, like, with the injuries and stuff, I don't know if that's due to kind of, like, his build, because, you know, Heinz Ward, you know, where he was, like...
Well, Heinz Ward was a little dude. Like, Heinz Ward is as tall as I am.
But he broke people's jaws, literally. Like, he was tough. Like, he was stocky.
That's very polite for what Heinz Ward was. Heinz Ward was dirty. He was a very good blocker, but he was dirty. But that smile bought him a lot of goodwill.
Yeah.
And I liked Heinz Ward.
He played the Ravens twice a year. He had to be dirty.
Just saying, man. Like, he blocked hard, and he had a really good smile, so no one gave him crap for it.
Well, okay, I'm not, as far as ethics go, that's not my point. My point is that there's, you know, you look at, like, the body structures where then you have A.J. Green is, like, super tall, doesn't have a ton of, like, muscle to him. Yes, he's a physical guy. He plays football. He has to. But I can see where, like, you know, knees and joints and ankles and elbow, like, yeah, you know, and the, but he's still a freak. I mean, he's great. He's got, I mean, you can just YouTube his, you know, his like greatest hits or highlight videos, and I mean, he's a freak. I think anybody would die to have him if they could afford it.
Do you think he actually gets moved this summer? I think so.
I think if the right offer comes up,
mm-hmm.
then yeah.
Like, I'm just looking at, like, I don't know, like, teams that have a ton of cap space left. Like, I don't know, like, the Colts could if they wanted to.
The Colts could do anything at this point.
They could. They could. They really could.
The division is kind of crazy, too, because you look at the Browns are obviously, like, everybody's excited for the Browns, but they're still the Browns, okay, until they prove otherwise.
Well,
and
that's
then you've got, obviously, you know, I mean, Pittsburgh, yeah, it's one of the best, well, greatest franchises in football history, but they're kind of, I mean, their two best players are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And their best player is not getting any younger. Or thinner.
Yeah, and then the Ravens are a gamble still too. I mean, they still got a young, inexperienced quarterback. How great is he going to be? We don't know yet. His sophomore year.
Well, but the Bengals are terrible. Like, let's be clear, they're terrible. Their roster, their defense is old, and like they haven't they've had like a good draft or two, but they really need, like, you know, they could just start getting picks and just rebuilding. Let Zach Taylor, like, rebuild the team, you know?
Yeah.
Because Dalton, I'm sure, is going to be gone next year, too.
Yeah, but I just don't know if Green goes. That's why I just don't know if Green goes this year.
If the right offer comes along, I'm sure the Bengals are like, well, we'd rather just get picks for you than have to, like, pay you a bunch of money when we don't want to.
That's true, too.
Because they're cheap. Let's be clear. The Bengals are notoriously cheap.
Yep.
Paul Brown Jr. Okay. inherited that from Paul Brown Sr. And last NFL bit, then we can move to the NBA. The Raiders got Hard Knocks.
Called it.
I know. I was so surprised.
That was impressive.
Oh, boy.
That was impressive.
That's going to – I might actually watch because I know it's going to be a total train wreck.
Like, I am looking forward to that training camp battle between Antonio Brown and Vontaze Burfict.
Perfect.
Perfect, whatever.
Or Vontaze Burfict versus everybody.
Yeah.
Vontaze Burfict versus Gruden. Gruden really trying to lay it on thick for the cameras.
Yep.
Derek Carr insisting that he's going to be a Raider for life. A lot of shots of the Vegas stadium being built.
Yep.
Mark Davis's creepy ass face on TV.
With his, oh, God, with that hairstyle.
The bowl cut?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't watch 30 Rock, but he always looks like when, like, Paul Rubens' character is, like, the total inbred monarch. They go to a birthday dinner for, and he's, like, totally just, like, disfigured and messed up. I'm actually going to watch this year, because that's actually kind of compelling. I figured they'd wait till the first year in Vegas, but I was wrong.
No, I called it saying, based off all the moves that they made and...
I know.
And especially getting Antonio Brown, I think, is the
big subplot of a lot of players going, oh, I'm sad to leave Oakland.
Yeah. Gotta love it.
I know.
I'm right.
I know. It doesn't happen very often, so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm just saying. No, but would you watch, Brian? Would you watch 4 weeks of the Raiders?
Oh, yeah, I would, yeah, especially this kind of situation. I mean, you can't say it's not going to be entertaining. So, it's going to be, the fact that you have Gruden and Antonio Brown, I hope Antonio Brown just walks into the first meeting with his fur coat. That's what I'm hoping. Just, like, jewelry down to his freaking...
He's going to show up with a fur coat when it's like 100 degrees outside.
Well, what I want is for them to, or for some guy in the camera crew to be like, hey, man, so Pittsburgh. And Antonio Brown just like says something really mean about Pittsburgh.
You know that's going to happen.
It's like, so there's going to be, I think that'll be the first episode. Just like, man, Pittsburgh was bull.
Yeah, what's the difference between the culture in Pittsburgh and the culture here with the Raiders?
He's going to say something really mean about Ben, and that'll be fun for a few days.
Juju's gonna sit there and defend him, and
it's watchable. It's watchable this year.
Oh, first time in a long time it's been watchable.
Yeah.
Like I don't even remember who. I think it was Tampa that was last year. I don't even remember.
I think it was Tampa last year.
Oh yeah, because they had one of the Jameis years. So it was either his rookie year or the year before or the year after. All right, moving on to LA and other stuff. We have some NBA finals to check in. Let's quick a moment of silence for Kevin Durant.
I'm pouring out my 40 now.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But I do want to give the Warriors credit for coming back in that game, because that was a game they just should not have won, especially with DeMarcus Cousins nearly blowing it for him like three times in the final 2 minutes. But Steph and Clay, man, they got it done.
I mean, for all the haters online to sit there and say that Curry is trash.
I hate that.
Come on, man. Like, the guy is...
He has bad games, like everyone does, but he brought it, man.
Yeah, I mean...
Clay, too. Draymond.
Curry's just a freak.
He is, and he. I really, you know what? The other thing with Durant getting hurt, I hated the take that it's all the Warriors' fault, and like they forced him to play. They didn't.
No.
And Steph, I don't know if you saw, but Steph was genuinely sad that Durant got hurt. He had to hold back because like he had to do a sideline interview right after that. And, like he caught himself almost crying. He and Clay back in the locker room after when he was carried away. By the way, shame on Toronto for cheering Durant rupturing his Achilles.
Oh, I was so mad. That was
so was Clay. Boogie ripped him afterwards.
Good. I mean,
that's so un-Canada-like.
It's just anytime a player goes down, you hate seeing that, especially with.
Well, with all Durant, he had going on.
Exactly.
This is going to be a big summer for him.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, you know, I talk a lot of smack against the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't sit there and cheer that a player got hurt because, again, that's...
Yeah,
because you don't know the extent of the injury.
Well, and Durant will be out for at least a year because he just got a surgery today, but a ruptured Achilles, like, takes at least a year. And even then, you're not back until 2 years later.
Yep.
If you come back.
Exactly.
Like, who knows what he'll be like?
What sucks about that injury is it's arguably the worst injury a basketball player can have.
And it's the worst finals injury of all time.
Yeah, it was bad. And from the stuff that there was stuff that kind of came out, and I don't know if this is true or not, mm-hmm. but that there was okay. So you have the team doctors and whatnot. Saying all this, regardless, the team doctors have to clear him. So
they did.
There has to be, yes, they did, exactly. So there has to be some responsibility on that. However, there are some reports saying that there was other, and I don't know if this is medical professionals or teammates or whatever, mm-hmm. but there were other people involved telling him not to play even though he wanted to play.
Right. I've heard conflicting on that, but Durant definitely said he wanted to play.
Nobody can force an athlete of his caliber if he doesn't.
He could just tell him to fuck off.
Exactly.
Because like I have the free agency coming up, so I don't want to risk that. But he wanted to play because that's who he is, and that's what like Clay was saying too. He's like, look. Like you, like everyone's still saying, oh, Durant and the Warriors hate each other, and that was very much not true. Otherwise, like Steph and Clay and all the and Boogie are all the best actors on the planet because they were genuinely hurt, and a lot of the Raptors are very sad. Like Kyle Lowry was really bummed about it.
Yeah, nobody wants because it can happen to any of them.
Right.
But the thing is that a lot of players look up to him because
he was the best player on the planet until that injury.
Exactly right. Yeah, because LeBron got it's not really necessarily his fault, but he's also getting older. But
well, yeah.
KD has been everybody has been is preaching his name this season, and then
except for Max Kellerman.
Yeah, that's true. But
I know it's really sad. Do you think the Warriors win it in Game 6? The last game ever at Oracle? Well, I think the Warriors 4-7, and I really hope to God they do, because this series needed a little bit of something, and I think they can force it. I think it's the last game at Oracle. They want to go out on top and at least bring it back to Toronto with a shot to win the whole thing.
Sorry.
All right. Do you think they can win in Game 6, Brian?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Check.
Yes, go, okay, go.
All right, so you know what? I think that Toronto is just too comfortable.
Well, they're in what? See, they're on game 5 right now?
No, so they're going to 6.
It's 3-2, right?
3-2 goes to Oakland for game 6, and obviously Sunday in Toronto would be the game 7.
Yeah.
I would hope it goes to Game 7.
No, that'd be fun.
And then I want the Warriors to win.
I know, I do too. What a world.
Especially after that whole Toronto, because I didn't know they cheered.
Oh, they did. And so, like you could tell they kind of caught themselves halfway through. Like, oh, but the first reaction was the most honest one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even the Raptors players were like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, like, they can go pound sand.
They
now.
Did, though. Like, Kyle Lowry was like, dude, like waving them off. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like the karma gods aren't on their side now. I don't think, especially after how the Raptors kind of choked that game 5.
Exactly.
I mean, I will say that
I'm going to play inspired now.
I do think so too, and I think now that since they have the rest, Clay and Steph will have their legs back. I mean, God only knows you're going to get out of Boogie, but I mean, like, the bench should at least show up for this one, I would hope.
Yeah.
And I just don't know.
I would not want to bet on this.
No, I wouldn't. To be honest. But I would never count out Golden State. They're one of the most mentally tough teams of all time.
Yep.
Well, you look at the two wins and they also have back-to-back wins in Toronto. So, I mean, here's the thing. I mean,
that's true.
At home, they go back to Toronto. It's not like, oh, we're at home, we're safe.
No,
I mean,
they really do their best work on the road.
It's a damn to say. I hope it goes to Game 7 just because this is a very fascinating finals.
Well, Game 7 will be on Father's Day, and I think that the two of us at least deserve that. Well, I don't know if you're watching, but...
I agree with that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I mean, that would be really cool, but I just, you know, but Toronto's very comfortable shooting on that court.
I mean, Kawhi is a cyborg, but everyone else kind of wilted when it mattered on Toronto.
Well, that, to me, is the wild card, because Kawhi looks like he's starting to get burnt out.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He is looking really tired. Now, that's not saying much because, you know, he can come back and be a monster because he is that good.
And they get the 2 days rest will help everybody.
Really, he's just waiting for it to be over, I feel like. But he wants that. I know he wants that championship.
Now,
that's a cool
story. Do you think if he wins Finals MVP, which, by the way, if you put him in the rare category of players who've won a Finals MVP with two different teams, LeBron being one of them, I forget the other one. I think Kareem was one of the, it was another one. But if he were to do that and have like the one of the greatest like postseason runs of all time, does he stay in Toronto or do you think he's still a Clipper? Because I think he's still a Clipper.
Oh, I think he stays in Toronto.
Wow. Do you think the Durant thing probably gave him pause? Like, take the most money I can get now.
I honestly think this run gave him pause.
But do you think like, because I would have thought maybe if he was going to stay in Toronto, it'd be like for one more year. But do you think he'll take the long? Because they can supermax. I think they can supermax him in Toronto.
Well, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and you were talking about, you know, you and I were talking about, like, you know, Durant, obviously. Well, now it's sad because now everything's up in the air for him. Because, you know, he was going to be
a Knick.
New York.
Well, yeah, I think the Knicks might still sign him out of good faith, or he'll take the Warriors.
Probably.
Or he opts into the 31 million of the Warriors to stay for one more year, so that at least he's getting that, and then he'll leave.
Right, but then when you ask me about Kawhi going to the Clippers, I still, even then, this was before the finals started, mm-hmm. I was hesitant to say he was going to be going to the Clippers.
Wow, because he's been penciled in for the Clippers since, like, he got traded to Toronto.
Yeah, because I know he wants to go to L.A. and everything, but he seems to be doing pretty well in Toronto. So
I know, I'm just...
on if he wants to be there.
True, and then, well, this leads me to the free agency, because today got really fun. The Nets are pretty much guaranteed Kyrie Irving. He fired his agent with Jay-Z's agency company.
Rock Nation.
Rock Nation.
I didn't want it.
But well, that means D'Angelo Russell's probably going to be going somewhere. Cough, Orlando, cough. Yeah. I'm guessing, because they have money and they need somebody. But the Anthony Davis hot stove got heated up today. The Celtics and the Lakers are the two teams remaining to compete for him. The Lakers package allegedly involves the number 4 pick, Lonzo and Brandon Ingram, whereas the Celtics are not putting Jason Tatum on the table, but they're putting some picks and Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward. I think that's pretty good.
That's pretty hot stuff for both those teams.
So. I know. Well, I'm just kind of amazed, like, because they're like, well, the Knicks could make a move, but the Knicks like now don't know what to do because they don't have Durant. They don't have Durant, and they know they're not getting Kyrie anymore.
So wait, Kuzma's not going to be in that trade?
No. According to Mark Stein and Woj, that the Lakers have been kind of holding off on Kuzma. They're willing to part with Lonzo. They're willing to part with the pick, obviously, and they're willing to part with Ingram. And then Rich Paul was on, I think, First Take or one of those shows this morning, basically saying that they want to take Anthony Davis's best interest in mind, but meanwhile, like, basically saying he's going to be a Laker. Come hell or high water, they're going to make him a Laker.
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
We might find out while we're recording. Because you know how Woj bombs go in the summer?
Yep.
It'll be like 1 in the morning, it's like, oh, hi, like, Anthony Davis is a Laker.
and it'll happen after we record.
We'll wake up tomorrow. It's like, well, the Pelicans have agreed to terms on Davis because the draft is next Thursday. People forget.
Yeah.
So I know, right? That's why I love the NBA offseason, because it just goes. It's not like the NFL. But if the Lakers did only have to give up that for Davis, do you think where do you think they'd be next season? Because they're also in the running for Kemba, allegedly.
What do you mean, like, where they could possibly go?
Yeah, like, let's say the dust settles and it's like they have Davis, they traded Lonzo, the pick, and Ingram to get him. So they still have Hart and Kuzma. They get Davis, and they possibly get, like, Kemba Walker or, God forbid, Tobias Harris.
Definitely yeah, 6 and 10.
6 and 10.
I mean, it's a massive
82 games.
I think it's a massive improvement, and I think that obviously, you know, AD will take some pressure off LeBron, and, you know, he's obviously, LeBron has wanted, like, a big namer, but I think AD is, for the most part, like, everybody wants. He's kind of
AD only said that the only two teams he wants to go with long-term are the Knicks and the Lakers, so neither of those teams are the Celtics. I don't know why the Celtics would give up all that for a rental.
Yeah, the fact that he wants to come here is a plus. The fact that LeBron wants to team up with him is obvious.
The fact that he's a clutch client helps out a lot.
I just don't like... There's one person I just still wish was not involved with the Lakers.
Jason Kidd or Rob Pelinka?
Yes, absolutely.
I know. The thing, only part that would suck is like... It's like playing a C, guys. I knew what I was doing all along. It's like, no, you didn't. Like, Rich Paul wanted to make this happen, so he made it happen. Like, you just were there. Like,
if he was gone, I would be like, oh my god, dude, I feel so much better now. Like, we'll see. I don't know. Like, you never know.
Basically, if they get AD, they'll turn what would be a potential Chernobyl into a mere 3 Mile Island, to quote Mr. Burns. Like,
I mean,
their offseason's still been a disaster. Go ahead, Wes.
If they're gonna sit there and get, Anthony Davis, are they going to include a razor to
no,
turn that unibrow?
No, he trademarked it.
Ugh.
I know.
How do you trademark a unibrow? But
well, the phrase the brow, because that's what they're calling him in college. So he trademarked the brow.
Smart, but
well, they don't pay you in college, unless you get caught. So I get it. Or a bunch of people in basketball last year.
Or what's-her-face from Full House.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's doubling down. She didn't do anything, whereas Felicity Huffman was smart and just took the deal and went to jail for 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't know. I think the Knicks are kind of screwed because now, like, they can still pay Durant and be like, hey, we're making an investment now, which that would be fine. But, like, I don't know what, like, if you're Davis, do you want to go into that? Because, like, well, the Knicks are already out of the trade anyway because New Orleans doesn't have any. They don't have anything New Orleans wants.
Yeah.
But if you're Davis, you're like, well, what am I going here for? I don't know what Durant's going to be. I'm like, if we get Kemba, cool, but...
I mean, it doesn't make sense.
No, I could just leave it in a year.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that might have been in the Lakers' favor with that whole injury to KD, because...
I know, that's the...
That's the bittersweet part.
Yeah. Yeah, he was free agency. Like, once that domino fell, everything else was going to fall. And...
Right.
What's going to be kind of...
That's another reason it's sad.
It's going to be really sad, though, if they make that trade tomorrow that just eats up the rest of the finals. No one cares. It's all 80 to the Lakers. What a world. Anyway, one more NBA bit before I have to mention something else. Tony Parker retired at the age of 37. He was a finals MVP. Yep. Key cog on many Spurs teams. For some reason, cheated on Eva Longoria. With the spouse of another Spur.
Why?
And Tony Parker wasn't traded for that. The other guy was. But anyway, Tony Parker, hell of a career. His French rap albums were terrible, but he was one of the Spurs I hated the most.
Yeah.
Yep. Great point guard.
Great point guard.
Great point guard.
And lastly, so want to shout out to Santa Clarita residents who made the MLB draft last week. They went to the, I believe, the Cubs and the Mets, respectively.
Wow.
You're good for them.
Oh, wow.
I know, I had their name somewhere, but I accidentally deleted the email. I apologize. They're not listening, but they went to Saugus and Valencia, respectively.
Hey!
I know!
Saugus alone.
We did it! Yeah, Hartheide is a monopoly on random draft picks.
I know.
Shout out to Matt Moore, who's still pitching in Major League Baseball. Oh wait, no, Matt Moore's a quarterback, and then James. No, sorry, James. Is this guy
a hard quarterback?
He was a hard quarterback, but James. I think it's either James Shields or Scott Kazmir was a hard player that's still pitching in the league. Good for them. And I want to mention one more time, the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup 4-1 in Boston in Game 7. So shout out to John Hamm, Pam Beasley.
Pam!
We did it.
Boston. Yeah.
Hey, you did what the Dodgers and the Rams couldn't do. Good job.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want, Brian, you want to stick around for some superhero shit? Because it's a loaded week.
Okay, why not?
All right. The first, the Wonder Woman 1984 poster was released last week, and it looks awesome. Thoughts?
Very colorful.
Very colorful. Very Thor Ragnarok-y.
Yeah.
Wait, which one was it?
Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. Crap.
God damn it. Well, Google it while we're talking, because I want to get to the other larger Warner Brothers point. Because okay, they released that poster on the heels of announcing that they're skipping Comic-Con this year. Which means you could put a nail in Hall H, because they're the last ones that were going.
Yeah.
Like, now it's just, like, big TV shows.
Yeah, because now that Marvel's not there.
Yep, Marvel's...
DC's not going to be there. Nope. Like,
it's kind of amazing, like, what's happened in the last 5 years with Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like...
It's not amazing. It's depressing.
Well, it's Comic-Con's fault, too, though, because, like, it got too chaotic. It got to, like, where, like, Coachella and South by Southwest have gotten to, where the festivals just get too big. But... I think Warner's going to try to have their own convention, like D23, like that Disney has, because they're starting their own app, and we'll get to them. We'll get to the app later. But this is a huge blow for Comic-Con. But if you're someone who liked to go to Comic-Con before it was cool, this is a good thing, because now you'll actually be able to get to see stuff.
Yeah.
But studios have seen over the decade, like the last year we went in 2010 is the last year it was like viable. But then you saw studios thinking like $10 million to put stuff up for that whole weekend, and then like movie bombs like Scott Pilgrim or Jonah Hex or any of those.
Oh, Jonah Hex.
I know. Great panel. We'll, when Comic-Con rolls around, we'll tell Comic-Con stories.
Yeah.
We'll just carve out a whole section for that. But yeah, like we went to the last year before it got too untenable. Yeah. And now Warner Brothers leaving is a huge blow. They're still going to send the IT crew to do a panel, but other than that, they're just not going to have a presence at all.
No, and I mean, again, it's like you said, it's unfortunate because, you know, for years they were the place to go.
That was it for the summer, man. Yeah, like that's where you get trailers would drop, yep. And then you get a whole bunch of exclusive
like all things news and break. And,
yeah, that's where they broke. They were doing Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, and I know the last year we went, they had, because I was...
2010.
Captain America and Thor.
Yeah, they introduced the Avengers. They had the first time all the Avengers were on the same panel.
Exactly.
They had like yeah.
Well, that was the first year. That was the first year we went.
No, the
first year we went was like Book of Eli and.
Well, the first year we went, Thor and Captain America were a year away. Then in the year we went, the second year we went was when they actually just introduced the Avengers and took the picture. They didn't have a panel for it yet.
Yeah, I think no. Wasn't that the first year?
No, the first year we went was Iron. Was the Iron Man 2 year?
Yeah, I thought that they came out.
No, that was the year after.
They were all there for that one.
No, that was the year after.
Okay.
Anyway,
we went to two consecutive years, which they were both.
But yeah, for those that don't know, Hall H. Oh,
one.
Hold on. For those that don't know, Hall H is the 6,500 seat venue. That's where all the big stuff would happen.
Yeah.
Like, all the big stuff. That's where you get, like, you know, you get random trailers that would just drop and no one's expected. Or just, you get to see footage of it. Like, James Cameron debuted Avatar footage there for the first time in 2009 when no one knew what the hell it was. You know, you had, like, when J.J. Abrams brought Star Wars there for Episode 7, they had a huge concert at Petco Park afterwards. Like, it was a massive thing, and now it's like, damn, it's going away, and it's kind of sad. But also, they had it coming because Hall H got to be too untenable. You either had to camp out forever, then they started giving you wristbands. Like, you'd be in line on Thursday for a panel on Saturday night.
Yep. I mean, it was fun while it lasted.
It was fun while it lasted, and whenever Warner Brothers debuts their convention, whatever. Warner Brothers also can't just announce they're canceling the DC app except for the Titans. For Teen Titans, which that's the one you wanted to save? Okay.
Well, you figure you got Titans, Doom Patrol, and...
Doom Patrol's going away.
And
Swamp Thing got canceled.
Well, no, hang on. You had Titans, Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing, and...
Oh, you had one more.
The animated one.
Oh, yeah.
I
forget. Young Justice?
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Young Justice season
See, 3. We didn't need your brother.
Yeah, that bum. But,
dumbass. Anyway.
But, yeah, I mean, that's, again, that's a huge blow to DC just because.
I think what happens, though, they put him on the Warner Media app.
Yeah, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, wasn't it because the right, like, it was an AT&T thing was involved too.
Well, no, AT&T. Okay, well, let's get into some corporate mumbo jumbo. So, what we're seeing, so AT&T does own Warner now. They own the whole package. So HBO, all the DC stuff, Harry Potter, yada yada. What we're seeing is though with the DC Universe app. Like a bunch of like the single serving apps like that or like Shudder are probably gonna go away and just get swallowed into like, you know, companies' larger apps.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know what's gonna happen with Hulu when the Disney Plus app comes out, but I'm sure it's gonna get absorbed because FX is absorbed into that. So you're gonna get into like 5 apps that have a whole bunch of just like arms. And that's why the DC app went away because it's like, well, we're just gonna be part of Warner Media probably, and then they'll reboot stuff there. Yeah. Oh, the Swamp Thing. Did you read the story on why Swamp Thing got canceled, Brian?
Yeah, the Carolina.
North Carolina, come on and raise.
North Carolina, and then, infighting within, like,
well,
creative, or what was it, like, the.
Well, that was creative infighting, but really, what happened was, for those that don't know, part of the deal for Swamp Thing shooting in North Carolina was their $80 million budget for the season was going to be given $40 million back in tax credits that the North Carolina state legislator voted on, and for some reason they screwed up the paperwork and that tax rebate wasn't coming, so yep. All of a sudden Swamp Thing got too expensive.
And then North Carolina also, whatever, I don't know, like, who exactly, whoever spoke for North Carolina said that they never agreed upon those terms. They agreed upon, like, $18 million or something.
Right.
So, they ended up paying, like, way, 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 way less. So, I mean, regardless, it sucks, though, because it looks really good, but yeah, it's also expensive, so.
Right.
That sucks.
I know. We'll get to the happy news for DC in a second, but let's right after we come back. One moment.
Again.
Right.
All right, we're back. Okay, so the happy news for DC is they finally announced their Black Adam movie, which is going to be starring The Rock.
Who?
Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I know Dwayne Johnson. I don't know who this Rock character is.
He was a successful wrestler back in 1999.
I smell what he's cooking.
Anyway, it's going to be directed by Jean-Luc Cholet-Salet, who did The Shallows. He did 3 Liam Neeson's movies. Who Liam Neeson's, by the way, in Black Adam. He did Nonstop. He did The Commuter. He recently wrapped shooting the Jungle Cruise movie with The Rock and Emily Blunt.
Ooh, that should be good.
I know, right? 2020. So he's doing Black Adam. Like I said, Liam Neeson's is in it, and they announced someone else is in it too. Hold on. But anyway, Brian, can you tell our listeners who and what a Black Adam is?
It's an Adam that's black.
Black.
Well done.
What? Wait, what did
you say? You said it's an Adam that's black. Thank you. Well done.
Kind of in a nutshell. So, I mean, Black Adam has the same powers as Shazam. He's not a child, like an evil child that transforms into Shazam or anything. He's actually, he's kind of just, he's the Black Adam. Like, there's no silly version of Black Adam. He's the main bad guy. But he's actually not necessarily a bad guy either. He's kind of, he could be an anti-hero.
That's too. Where they're going with it.
Right. So, that's why, I mean, it makes it very, you know, very compelling for a movie, and especially with the success of that really crappy Venom movie. But, he's extremely powerful. Take on Superman, he can take on Shazam. I think there's a comic book strip where he literally takes on Shazam, Superman, and one other superhero at the same time. But he has all the same powers as the Wizard Shazam, and he's been around a lot longer than any of the other, you know, DC universe for the most part. Like, he's been around forever. So he's done very bad things, and then he's kind of done his own thing. So he's kind of an ultimate anti-hero, but for the most part, I would say over the past several years, he's been more so, the bad guy. So I don't think people see, kind of know the anti-hero part. That's why I think that it's going to be awesome that they casted. I mean, they casted a great person for the role. I don't really know about the director too much.
Oh, I've seen his work. He's in a lot of stuff you've seen.
Yeah, okay.
He did House of Wax, The Orphan, The Commuter, Run All Night, Nonstop, Unknown.
Those all make me nervous. But,
The Shallows is awesome. Okay. I'll defend that movie to the death.
Okay. That's the Blake Lively one, right?
Yep.
The movie was so dumb at the end.
That's not the point.
Well, yeah, I know why you like that movie. But for the most, but I mean, Blackhound, yeah, it's, I mean, you can really say it's evil Shazam, but it's not really evil Shazam. And there's no kid involved. Like, he doesn't transform or anything. He's just the Black Adam. And he can beat the crap out of mega superheroes in the DC universe. And
okay.
Really cool.
Thank you. So. All right, lastly, in superhero news, allegedly they might be rebooting Fantastic Four for the umpteenth time, but this time with Ant-Man director Peyton Reed at the helm. We'll see. Peyton Reed, by the way, did both Ant-Man movies and, of course, his signature classic Bring It On. So, I don't know.
Let's see him bring it on.
That's really, well, we can't make it any worse than what Josh Trank did. Oof.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't say it'd be, like, now. Like, he'd be a little years down the road, but...
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe. I don't know.
It hasn't been announced or anything. That's just kind of what floated out there.
Yeah.
All right. So, would you watch that movie? I mean, obviously, you'd have to know who's playing who, but if he were doing it, would you be like, all right, I'm encouraged?
I mean, you know, the Ant-Man movies are fun. I like them.
Yeah, well, the Fantastic Four is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I think we would have to definitely wait a while.
Kind of have to wait a while.
Let that kind of settle since they failed on that.
Oh, also D23 might be bringing back the X-Men animated series. I forgot to drop that in there.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
They're lobbying for it. Yeah, like the original, like the Fox one.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
I'm gonna be honest about the Fantastic Four as a fan from like just.
Oh yeah, they used to be your corner for a while.
What?
That was your corner for a while. Like, I didn't know that you were like, oh, the Fantastic Four, I'm telling you, man. Like, that was your thing until they made the movies.
No, I think it was more so Gambit for the X-Men.
Well, it was Gambit and Spider-Man, but I mean, like, you're like, no, I'm telling you, I'm telling you the Fantastic Four were cool. And not that I disagreed, I didn't know any better.
But really, honestly, like, the biggest character that has the most draw, like, kind of fan.
Dr. Doom?
Like, just most fans of Human Torch. Everybody wants to see the Human Torch. Nobody really wants to see Dr. Reeves.
That's very disrespectful to the Thing.
The Thing? No, well, the Thing is cool too, but it's odd. Come on, the Human Torch is so much cooler than all of them. That's my viewpoint. They messed up. They really screwed them up for the most part, and it's just, wait a good. Because the fact that they already have somebody picked out to work on it, to me, makes it too soon.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Alright.
The fact that they already have somebody like, oh, hey, this person's going to direct it, or this person's going to produce it, or if they have, like, a lead actor, like, I'm like, just leave it on the shelf. You don't even just leave it alone. You got plenty of other projects going on.
They do, and I'm sure they'll announce a whole bunch of them over the summer, right after Spider-Man comes out.
They're going to bring Chris Evans back as a Human Torch.
That would be amazing.
But, by the way, I heard that movie wasn't that great.
Oh, Dark Phoenix? It did not do well.
No, that one too, but then the Men in Black one too.
I heard it was bad too.
I heard it wasn't that great.
I'm not surprised, but whatever. It'll still do decent the first weekend, and then we'll be like, oh, well.
Did you guys see the clip where, I forget what it is, but it's like, you know, people explaining movies bad. Horribly.
What?
People explain the plot to movies horribly.
Sure.
And it was Thor and Valkyrie go undercover to kill aliens or like to arrest
that's
aliens.
Funny.
So I was like, oh, I'm on board for that.
Too bad that's not what it is. I've heard it's mediocre as hell and it bums me out because I love the first Men in Black so much.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, they haven't gotten a sequel right yet.
No. They haven't, and even though Mondo will defend Men in Black 2 to the death, and I have no idea why, it's bad.
Wait, you didn't like the time traveling Men in Black one, the third one?
No. I mean, Josh Brolin was fun. There was like a lot of fun pieces. Like Bill Hader as Andy Warhol was kind of delightful, but like yeah. It was a bad movie.
Oh yeah.
You didn't get J&K. You only got like 5 total minutes of J&K, and it's not what a Men in Black movie is. Anyway, all right, Brian, we'll let you go.
All right. Well, it was good to call in, and go Eagles. So have fun. Hey, sign Dak. Sign Dak Prescott. Give him 35. Give him 36. Give him whatever he wants. Stay Cowboy forever.
Love you, Brian.
Suck my ass, right, Eagles fan.
Good night.
Good night. See you in the morning.
Anyway. All right, we have a couple of pop culture things to hit, and then we can get out of here. Let's see. Disney dropped the first full-length trailer for Frozen 2.
Finally.
What say you?
Oh, I'm glad this trailer actually explains what the heck is going on in Frozen.
It's still kind of holding a lot back.
Yeah, but that first trailer that they dropped?
Well, just like, hey, man, look what Elsa can do.
Yeah.
And they're going places.
Well, it's like that, and they didn't explain anything. Like, usually when
it was a teaser.
Yeah, but usually with the teaser, you kind of get, like, some direction. It's just, it looks like hey, you know what? These scenes look really intense. Let's just throw them all together, and okay. There we go. Let's make a trailer out of it.
My first thought, though, was, like, those underwater horses are going to make Disney a lot of toy money.
Yep.
Like, we're already probably going to buy Sophie one. I can just see it happening.
Oh, definitely.
Because it'll probably change colors and stuff, too. Oh, yeah. But you know, I'm sure you'll get one more. I don't know when. Probably like September or October. Like, or it'll probably with Maleficent, they'll drop like something huge.
Yeah,
like that gives you the whole thing because they don't even indicate if there are any songs in it, which you know there are. But it's just kind of interesting. I know they treat it like, well, you're coming anyway. Why do I have to tell you anything?
Let it go too.
Let's see. James Gray's trailer for Ad Astra dropped with Brad Pitt and Liv Tyler. It's our token smart sci-fi movie for award season, a tradition I really love that goes back to Gravity. Well, you know, you get that, you get like Arrival, Blade Runner 2049. There's always like one like classy sci-fi movie. That's and true. I really like James Gray. The Lost City of Z was an awesome movie, like the only good movie Charlie Hunnam's been in, I think.
You didn't like the
if you said King Arthur, then no. No. I mean,
you know me too well.
You could say Green Street Hooligans, but that was like pre Sons of Anarchy. It's like the best thing he's done post Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah,
it's a cool adventure movie, and he's done a lot of other good stuff too, like
Sons of Anarchy.
No, Charlie Hunnam. I'm talking about James Gray. So it's kind of cool to get to see him do a sci-fi budget because he's just not like a blockbuster guy. It looks neat. John Cena announced he's going to be in Fast 9 because The Rock isn't going to be in it.
I'm sorry, but now that like John Cena's doing like more like stuff other than wrestling,
careful.
I'm not talking smack about him personally. It's just his hair. He looks weird.
It's not great.
I know. He looks weird with long hair.
I know.
All I'm saying about him.
John Cena's quietly
having the only, I can't see him.
I know. Well, you don't know what he's going to be. I don't know what his character's going to be.
No one's going
to know.
Knows what his character's going to be.
He'll probably
no
be like
him.
The next, yeah, right? He'll probably be the next like federal agent that can't do their job because he's around Dominic Toretto.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a bad influence on.
He's just no, he's just really bad at just a bad cop.
No, I'm just
like
saying,
The Rock had him dead to right.
Bad influence on everyone.
That's true. You got him to be corrupt and just you can steal 40. You can steal however many million dollars.
Yeah, go for it.
Safe.
I'm
whatever.
Cool with it.
Well, you're fine, Toretto. I'll give you 24 hours.
Yeah,
24 hour head start. So I'm sure that's what John Cena will end up being. Let's see, Bo Burnham, who's a stand-up comedian. If you've ever seen Netflix, he has a bunch of specials on Netflix. Who also wrote and directed my second favorite movie, 2018, Eighth Grade. Got hired to do a bunch of songs for the 2021 Sesame Street movie, and I'm very happy about this.
I didn't even know they were making a Sesame Street
movie. I didn't either. I was like, what? But okay. Yeah, he's doing the songs, and you know what? I'm sure that'll win him an Oscar.
Yep.
Which he should have gotten for Eighth Grade, but that's okay.
Maybe 7th grade, who knows?
Maybe 7th grade. Let's see. Warner Media announced one of their first big series for their app is they're expanding the Dune universe, which is very interesting because their big budget movie made by Denis Villeneuve is coming out next November. And there's never been any proof that Dune has been a viable franchise because the one in 84 bombed horrifically. Even though the books are beloved, it's never been like, oh, we got to make this because it's super complicated and weird. And it isn't, like, for everybody. It's not like Hunger Games or something like that. So that's a flex. And Denis Villeneuve is going to be directing the pilot for it, too. So they must really like what they're seeing. I don't know. What a weird thing to kick off your app, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not for
choices
everybody.
Choices were made.
I'm sure they'll announce, oh, by the way, we'll have all the Looney Tunes catalog, so that means I might have to, like, steal someone's login.
Probably.
You know? But, you know, they'll have the whole their whole catalog. But still, like, Dune's a very... That's a flex. Like, Disney's like, well, we'll just give you Star Wars and some Marvel stuff. Warner Media's giving you Dune. A super complicated universe with a whole bunch of weird stuff no one knows. But here... We're betting everything on this. Speaking of weird bets, I guess Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek movie is still alive?
Yeah, I saw that today.
He won't be directing it because that would mean that's his 10th and final movie, and he's not retiring on that.
Yeah.
So, Godspeed to anyone who gets it. The twist is, instead of it being a normal Star Trek movie, he wants it to be rated R. Which I don't know if that worked for Star Trek.
I don't know, but it could definitely be fun, though.
I mean, I'd watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, because he came out saying that he wants it to be profanity and...
Which, okay.
And what else? It was like profanity
just violent,
and gory or something.
Gory,
like that.
Gory, yeah. Profane, which is not Star Trek, but whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll ever get made, but I'm sure it'll be really fun when that script leaks online in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure a lot of choices will be made. And finally, before we get to what's good, they announced the latest Comedy Central roast. It's a long time coming. I don't know if we've waited too long, but the Alec Baldwin roast is finally happening.
The who?
Alec Baldwin.
There we go. That's what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hoping it's good.
You know what would be funny?
Mm.
If Trump makes a surprise appearance
to
roast.
Oh, that's not happening.
Yeah, I know, right. It wouldn't happen, but it'd be funny.
Well, if the Roastmaster isn't Billy Baldwin, I'm not watching. Because that's what you need, damn it. Billy needs to be the Roastmaster, and you need to just load it with people who have really good Alec Baldwin stories.
Yeah.
Don't give me your random comedian who wants to break out. You mean give me Jeff Ross and a bunch of dudes who just... dudes and ladies. Like, what's-her-face? Kim Basinger up there to roast her marriage to Baldwin. Like, I want like, a personal roast. I want the Franco roast or... the Saget roast.
The meter maid he punched.
Which meter maid?
Yeah.
No, but just like people who have had relationships with Baldwin over the years, because Carolla's got some good Baldwin stories. Like, there's a whole thing. There's a whole movie career, a lot of TV shows that didn't work. Like, get Tracy Morgan on the dais. I want that. I better get Tracy Morgan on the dais. I'm just saying, like, there's a whole opportunity here. Like, they squandered the Bruce Willis roast, they squandered the Rob Lowe roast.
Yeah.
They really blew that one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like where they've been going lately, because they just, I don't know. Like, the Dennis Leary one and the Saget one were great, because you got, like, stories about the person.
Exactly. And then, unfortunately, with those two roasts, they had Greg Giraldo, too.
Well, that's something you can't write out, rest in peace. But, like, they've had some good post-Giraldo roasts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they work better when when people actually know. Like, it is, like, the most cynical version of this is the Bieber roast, where Hannah Burris is like, yeah, I'm just here to get famous. I don't care about you.
Yeah.
Which was funny, but it's like, ah, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
So, Baldwin, there's a lot of, there's a whole...
That was the year he outed Cosby, too, right?
No, actually, that was years before, but it got caught steam because he did it again.
Yeah.
Like, he'd been making those jokes for years, but...
Okay.
But that's when it kind of picked up, because I guess someone filmed this set. And he's like, well, everyone's known about this forever. I don't know why. I'm not breaking news here, people.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't pay attention. But, yeah, there's a whole deep well to go into. Like, get some SNL cast members, because he's, been there for 30-some-odd years now, so...
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of people that have wildly different stories. Make fun of his weight, his fluctuating weight. Because you take the NBC tour in New York, like the fun fact is, like, when they have to do like face molds,
yeah,
like whenever you gain or lose weight, they do a whole new one, obviously. And Baldwin set the record for most fluctuations in face molds, which tracks if you've tracked him over the years.
Yep.
Like Beetlejuice Alec Baldwin and 30 Rock Alec Baldwin are two very different weights. All right, so let's end it with what's good. What's good for you?
I'm almost caught up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Woo-woo!
I'm on that final season, the final stretch.
Nice.
And
loving it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, like you sold me on it. The cold opens are just great, and Holt is amazing.
Holt's amazing. Hitchcock, Scully.
Yeah,
like everyone's funny in different ways, and it's great. And
yeah,
a lot of good guest
stars.
Just great guest stars. Like they kill it every time with casting.
Yeah, and it's. again, kick myself that I didn't start it. But I mean, that's what I like about binging is that you can sit there and just hammer out these episodes right away. And
you know, God bless Hulu.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, you have the commercials, but I mean, I'd rather take the, I think it's 90-second commercial.
Yeah, whatever.
Versus like the 3 minutes that they do
on network,
and then have to wait a week to watch it again. So,
what's your next project after?
Next project, I think I'm gonna go either Shadows, Into the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah, there we go. What We Do in the Shadows?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I'm probably just gonna go with that one.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's easy because you could do that in 5 hours. Yeah, there's only 10 episodes.
And they're only, it was just season one, right?
Mm-hmm. And FX is super cool because you only get like 2 ads.
Okay.
Like, it's not like 90 seconds. It'll be like, and even sometimes the commercials is just one commercial telling you you're on a limited commercial break.
Oh,
and
nice.
It just comes back. Yeah, it's great. Like, Shadows, I can't wait for you to get to the council episode.
Okay.
Because I was, yeah. I was like, it was one of those that blew me away, like the guest, the stunt casting. But anyway, you'll get there.
Yeah, well, speaking of, like, Alec Baldwin, too, we ended up watching The Cat in the Hat over the weekend.
Oh, Jesus!
Yeah, because my son Zach wanted to watch it.
Oh!
And, good God. I saw bits and pieces.
Poor one out for my... Actually, that movie made money. What am I talking about? That movie actually made $100 million in the U.S.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was like, oh, my goodness. This thing was just hot garbage.
He didn't want to do it, Mike Myers.
I can tell.
Well, the story, he wanted to do the Sprockets movie, but then the Universal's like, hey, man, you still owe us a movie?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's fine. I forgot Baldwin was in that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a very rough IMDb.
Yeah.
Like, there's some gems, but then, my God, like, there's a Thomas the Tank Engine movie in there somewhere, I think. There really is.
I wouldn't doubt
it. He's a conductor.
Oh! I know which one you're talking about because Zach watched it years ago when he was really into Thomas the Train.
Sure.
Because it was a live action one.
Yep. I forgot what it's called, but yeah.
Oh, God. Come back to me. I'm going to look up the name right now.
Okay. All right. So I got two things for what's good. Because there's a bunch of TV I haven't gotten to yet. But I want to shout out my wife and I went to see Rocket Man over the weekend. Which was incredible. If you don't know, it's the Elton John movie. I really think it was miles, miles, miles ahead of Bohemian Rhapsody. And Taron Egerton was great as Elton John. Rob Stark was great as his awful dickhead manager.
Got it. Thomas and the Magic Railroad.
There we go. That sounds right.
And I love the cover that they have.
Oh, is Baldwin on the cover?
Look at that.
Ooh, that's rough.
You got Diesel 10.
Peter Fonda was in that? Ooh, keep getting them checks, Pete. My God. Anyway, Rocket Man is incredible. The music numbers that, like, whenever they do the songs were really imaginative. The choreography was great. It was well shot. Unlike Bohemian Rhapsody, which was, you know, it was like the Krusty the Clown autobiography, where it's self-serving with many glaring omissions.
Yeah.
This actually, like, went into, like, Elton John's drugs and alcohol abuse. They weren't afraid to go there with like him being gay. The performances were amazing. They didn't have a lot of walk hard moments, which I appreciated. Like there's a scene in them, they do his troubadour show when he first comes to LA. They tell him Neil Diamond's in the audience, that there's not like a dude playing Neil Diamond. They just like don't do that. You know what I mean? There it isn't like they have Frankie Muniz as Buddy Holly. you know, it was really well done. I was really impressed. And you know, it was a great movie. I'm very happy that like music biopics aren't, you know, aren't stale anymore, except for Bohemian Rhapsody. Also wanted to shout out Netflix's Always Be My Maybe with Randall Park and Ali Wong. Solid rom-com. It was really funny. It was cute, and I enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed it. And Keanu goddamn Reeves is in it as Keanu Reeves. He's amazing.
Oh, my wife watched that, and I saw like bits and pieces of it because I have work.
He's only in two scenes, and it's amazing.
Yeah, because
they go on a double date, and she's dating Keanu Reeves, and he's as himself.
And he ends up punching him, right? Yeah. Because I remember the scene where he's like, I can't believe I punched Keanu Reeves.
And
like,
he writes a song about it at the end because his character's in a band. It's about two childhood friends. They have a falling out in college, or after college, or high school. She becomes a world-famous super celebrity chef. He's just a burnout playing with his rap band on, like, in the danky clubs in San Francisco. They reunite as they do. They become friends again and more.
Yeah.
You know, it hits a lot of rom-com beats, but it's amazing. They have really good chemistry. I've loved Randall Park forever. You know him from Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Aquaman. Fresh of the Boat. Okay, good. Yeah. And Ali Wong, if you haven't seen her stand up on Netflix, you should.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's hilarious. But yeah, good movie. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You have anything else?
Let's see. No, I think that's it.
One second. Oh, yeah. My wife and I started watching Claws, which, for those of you who don't know, it's that show they always show ads for during the NBA playoffs. It's always that in Animal Kingdom. It's with it's with Niecy Nash from Reno 911. It's got a bunch of people from Justify and True Blood, and then Hank from Breaking Bad is the bad guy named Uncle Daddy. Look, it was one of those shows I'm like, I don't know. And then we started getting into it, and it's just really funny and like dumb. Because like, what's really smart about the location takes place in like the Gulf of Florida. Anytime something weird or trashy or just strange happens, you're like, that couldn't happen. You go, oh, Florida. Like, yes. they had a Florida funeral in the second episode, and holy crap.
Is it Florida?
Oh, my God. It is peak Florida. It is a whole, like, parade with strippers wearing black. They're carrying the guy's portrait, and it's just trashy. It's very much Pain and Gain type of South Florida.
Okay.
Mixed with, like, you know, Justified and just trash. It's funny. No, but it's a funny show. We're two episodes in, and I find it delightful.
What's it on?
It's on TNT.
Okay.
But you can watch it on Hulu. That's where we're watching it. Like, it's worth your time. But, like, it's pretty entertaining.
All right.
Like, it's very, like, you okay. Like, I'm in. Like, it's silly. It's a good summer show.
Okay.
All right. Next week, we're going to be talking about more NFL stuff. I'm sure the Anthony Davis trade will happen before the draft next week, which, you know, we'll see. It looks like it's happening. Like, it really looks like it's going to happen.
That's what they said during the season, too.
Well, no, but that's because LeBron's team ruined it for everybody. They tried to force it. Now, you know, they know that the Pelicans know they're not re-signing him, so I'm sure a bunch of that stuff will happen. More trailers will drop, as they do, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
I don't know what, but something's coming. And we'll talk about that next week. Say goodnight, Wes.
Good night, guys.